Now, I don't know if you've all seen it, but Jesus has been in the news a lot this week. Apparently, he was aware of the fact that I'm starting a monthly forum series this morning about signs in the times, where we're going to reflect on the news stories of the month and what they mean to us through the biblical perspective and the perspective of our faith. I think Jesus planted that story because Jesus loves me just that much. Now, the story, if you saw it, was about a 1,600-year-old piece of papyrus about yay big that had some words on it. One of the words was Jesus, one of the words was wife, and the conclusion that has been drawn from this by a Harvard scholar is that this is Jesus talking about having a wife. And in the humor of how our lectionary works, the first reading that Penny read for us fits perfectly into this planted story this week that begins, a good wife who can find? She is more precious than jewels. And then goes on to describe this absolutely idyllic life partner that any one of us would be happy to call our life partner. And you figure somebody like that is going to be difficult to find and track down. But if anybody could find the perfect partner, it would be the Son of God. And I can imagine her mother, you know, talking to her about this guy who is her suitor and saying to her, now what does his father do again? Now, this news story created a flurry of activity and ideas, from philosophical arguments to theological arguments to some rather humorous arguments, as people sort of stopped to think just what it would be like to live in the household of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and how challenging it would be in some ways to be his life partner. So a couple of scenarios for you. One, you know, Jesus says to his wife, hey, I'm going to invite cousin John over for dinner. And she's like, I am not making that locust and honey casserole again, and that camel's hair gets all over everything. Or Jesus gets home from a day with the disciples, and she's like, well, what did you teach the boys today? Well, I was kind of going with a difficult lesson day. Take up your cross and follow me. And she just looks at him. You can't even pick up your socks. Or Jesus comes home and he's in a bad mood. He's kind of grumpy. It's been a tough day. And she's like, well, what's wrong? It's like, oh, the disciples, they were all arguing again. What were they arguing about this time? He's like, same old, same old. They keep trying to figure out which one of them is the greatest. And she goes, well, you know, Peter is pretty solid. I mean, he's the kind of, you know, rock that you could build an organization on. And she's like, yeah. He's like, Jesus is like, yeah, Peter's cool, but you know, there's more to it. There's more to it. And that's the lesson that there is more to today. This gospel lesson. When Jesus is maybe not in this picture of domestic bliss that I've laid out for you, but teaching us this lesson that comes after the disciples are arguing about who is the greatest. This age-old question that we debate on so many levels in our lives, both who is the greatest and how do we align ourselves with the greatest. Now, this gospel passage comes in an interesting section of Mark's gospel, where Mark's gospel is transitioning from Jesus' early life and his teaching and starting to point the way to the cross, to Jerusalem, where he will die and rise again. And there are three consecutive lessons in there that sort of start off the same pattern. Jesus tries to explain to the disciples, tries to tell them in very plain words, I am going to be betrayed. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to rise again. And they don't get it. They don't get it. Now, last week's Peter was so upset about it, he got up in Jesus' face, and Jesus had to rebuke him and say, get behind me, Satan. So it's no wonder that this week, the telling that comes right after that, After they hear this time, it says, and they're afraid to ask about it. Sort of one of those things you know that you're not supposed to say anything about. But what happens in this gospel, in each of these sections, after Jesus gives that really hard lesson that the disciples cannot understand that time and place, Jesus follows it up with an almost equally important lesson for the disciples and how they are called to live their lives following Jesus. And these lessons that follow, these lessons for the disciples, are also the lessons for us. The lessons that point us in the directions that we should head and how we should follow Jesus and how we should live our lives. So Jesus goes on and gets mad at the disciples for arguing about who is the greatest. And think about that argument and how many times you have been a part of it in some way, and how many things in our culture point us to helping us try to figure out and understand what is the greatest. I know I woke up this morning and went on the internet to try to check the latest college football polls because my beloved Notre Dame is 4-0. Maybe not the greatest, but doing a lot better than they have. But then we've got TV shows like American Idol, or we've got March Madness. All of these things that we want to know who's the best. We want to know who's the best. And then Jesus turns it around. He says, if you want to be first, you need to be last of all and servant of all. If you want to be first, you need to be last of all and servant of all. And it's this idea of service and what that does to our beings when we give ourselves over to God in that way that makes us different, and it's how we are called to live. If we think we are first, if we think we are best, we've got the answers. If we think we're first and we think we're best, we don't have to think anymore because we know we're the best. We don't have to open ourselves up to new and different ideas. And what Jesus does by telling the disciples, by telling us that we need to be the servant of all, is asking us to put ourselves in that position where we're open to learn, open to see God in new ways. And think about it. When you've done something for somebody, whether it's helping somebody cross the street, carrying somebody's bags out to the store, opening a door for somebody, you are opening yourself up to God. When you serve God in some of the ministries that we have through this place, whether it's Tony's Kitchen, the shop, other things like that, you are opening yourselves up by God by humbling yourself through service. It is one of the ways that we constantly remind ourselves and need to remind ourselves that God is first. By serving others, we put ourselves in that position to know that. Now, this passage goes on to explain this sort of further in a different way as Jesus takes this small child up into his lap and says, "Whoever welcomes the least of these also welcomes me and the one who sent me." And I want to think for a minute about what it is like to be childlike and what that says to us and how we can live. Children don't expect to be first. They know that they are dependent on somebody else. We are called to know that we are dependent on God. If we get too self-confident, something's going to happen and knock us down and knock us around, and we know we need to turn to God. But if we take this childlike approach and open ourselves up to God, we can be in a safer, more comfortable place. Children also are open to learning new things in new ways, much more so than any of us are. As we get older, we sort of close our mind off to things. And one of the things I can assure you about God more than anything else is that God will surprise you. God will surprise you in amazing and different ways, but you need to be open to it in this childlike way. So bringing this back around to this story this week that may have rocked some people's spiritual worlds as they understand Jesus, I don't care one way or another whether Jesus had a wife. I have some ideas that we'll talk about later. I loved some Jesuit priest wrote into the New York Times, and his last paragraph was something along the lines of, you know, I really don't think Jesus had a wife, but when I get to heaven, if I meet her, I'll be happy for her and for him too. All will be well. But what this story does and represents is exactly what we are supposed to do in this from this gospel message today. And that is to open ourselves up to knowing God in different ways. And we open ourselves up not by being first, not by being best, not by being on top, but by being last and servant of all. It's counter to everything that our culture seems to proclaim, but it is a way of peace, it is a way of truth, it is a way of life that is so much more life-giving. So my friends, I encourage you, as you approach this week ahead, look not to be first, but to be last. Look not where you can be served, but where you can serve. And in this, you will find a God who loves you beyond your expectations. Amen.